listen to the first team, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first team.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Bob Bubka, here with St. Louis golf icon Jay Randolph Jr. You might know him better as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Well, Jay, the year is almost done. Certainly, the golf year for the PGA Tour is finished, and what a finish it was.
Yeah, it really was, Bob. The situation down under in Australia with the way in which Ernie Els had kind of put his team together, the way that they started, the points that they got, putting the U.S. in a situation where they had to come from behind on singles day, which, as we know in the past, in the majority of competitions, they've done very well in singles day. And Captain Woods got it started right off the bat with his win in the final day against Abraham Answer. I know there's a lot to dissect from what took place, but the U.S. was very fortunate to get away with a W.
Yeah, they really were. Except, you know, I've been around numerous President's Cups. I've been around far more Ryder Cups. Somehow, I still cannot digest properly. And Ernie Els is somebody that I hold in high regard. He's been a good friend for years and years. But when I hear that somebody has a plan on how they're going to win at golf, I'm very confused. I mean, if somebody comes up to me and tells me they have a plan where I'm going to win at blackjack, I'm going to try the plan. But if they come up to me and tell me they got a plan for me to win at golf, unless they can get me to hit the golf ball better or get me to make more putts, I don't see how anything labeled plan can have any effect at all.
Yeah, I mean, somebody asked me last week, what exactly do these captains do? And I said, they pick the uniforms. I mean, there's only so much a captain can do. I think Ernie did, you know, I used Ernie in the plan, and he was going to stick by it, and here's how we're doing it. I think, you know, the international side is searching for things that they can grab onto to try and win one of these. And it seemed like that this quote-unquote plan that Ernie had was working pretty well until the fourth session, and then the singles, we know what happened.
Well, I'm going to make a statement right now, and you can hold me to it. 10 years from now, United States will not be able to even compete with Asia if they want to have a team competition, United States versus Asia. I mean, it's just not going to happen. I mean, they're going to dominate just like the LPGA Tour now. American LPGA players certainly would be huge underdogs if they went up against South Korea in any type of team competition.
Yeah, you've talked about the fact that it's coming. It's happening. It's in the process. We're going to continue to see it. We're going to continue to see it worldwide. You know, with the Abraham Answers from Mexico or this guy from another place. I mean, it just, the game is global. We need to realize it. And I think in the next couple of years, there's going to be some efforts made here in the United States to try and build up not that the junior programs aren't strong here in this country right now, but I think there's going to have to be an effort because there is going to be kind of a changing of the guard.
Yeah, good point there, Jay. I think the junior programs need to be, strengthened and be the focal point in order for us to have success down the road. Well, we heard the saying, thunder down under. We heard some rumblings last week with certainly a big bang at the end. So the Grill Room congratulates Team Tiger or Team USA on their comeback victory. And here's what Tiger had to say following that victory.
Well, the whole team played extremely well today on a very difficult golf course against a very formidable international team. They were up 8-10, and the guys went and got it done. We were up early in a lot of matches, and it came down to the very end. We knew that was going to happen. We had some really strong guys at the end. Actually, strong guys from 1 through 12. So We were excited about going into this session. I know we lost the four team sessions, but we were excited about our chances going to singles, and we did it as a team.
You know, the one thing that could have flipped it all around, I thought that if Abraham Answer had the answer to defeat Tiger, that would have made the lead 3 points, and it may have gotten harder from there for the U.S. to come back. I thought it was great the way Tiger played, probably a little preview of what we can expect in 2020. We'll talk more about that. About that later. But Tiger going undefeated. Tiger sitting out two sessions on Saturday. Every button that Tiger Woods pushed, Jay, was the right button.
No, it was interesting. A lot of people wondered why he did not play in that afternoon session on day three. But he did do what he had to do and go out and set the tone and get that W right off the bat on Sunday. I almost think on that third day, he was more about being a captain than being a player. And then on Sunday, when he put himself out as the lead guy, he said, all right, they're going to ride my back. I'm going to go out and get this first match. And, Bob, you could make the argument that Tiger was the best player on the U.S. side. And as you said, every time we see him and see him continue to play well, it gives us more of a belief and more of a hope that there's more to come. That there's another major or another major or two, and if we get another major, then it's going to build. And he wants to make the Olympic team. He really wanted to do this. I mean, he wanted to be the captain. The guys that were his co-captains, he loves. Seemed like he got along with all the players. He drove me nuts a little bit by sending out Reed as much as he did, but that's another story. But I think Tiger has to walk away from this captain's experience with another feather in his cap of, continuing the legacy of, if not the game's greatest player, the second or third greatest player for sure.
Oh, you're right there, Jay. And we'll hear from Tiger about being the captain. But first, let's hear what Ernie Els had to say about almost getting it done.
It's been a good week. It's been an incredible week, really, with these guys. Guys I've met, newcomers, and guys I've known for a long time. And, the players were just incredible. They were open for a new formula, so to speak, and embraced what I said to them. And, here we are. We lost 16-14, and... we got to swallow that. But great strides was made, especially in our team play. I really felt that our team play was really the core of our team, and that never was. We never, felt like we could play foursomes or four-ball together as a team. So we did that well before the week started. We had a plan to get to 10 points by Saturday evening. So that's why we were so excited yesterday, losing 3-1, because we knew we got to 10 points. And I could have made different choices in the singles today. I can take it on my shoulders. It is what it is. The questions will come from you guys and from the public that, I made mistakes in the selection of where I put my players, but I've followed a plan, 100%, and it didn't quite work out, but we came damn close. But we gave it a hell of a go, and we came mightily close to winning and upsetting one of the greatest golf teams of all time. If you look at their record and where these guys are at the moment, they're going places, I can tell you that. We do have major champion winners up here. We do have number ones, former number ones, but we also have had guys playing for the first time, and I can only see their future going in a great manner. So saying that, it was wonderful serving with them, and It's going to be tough. We got to fly a long ways to get home. It's going to be tough to swallow, but we do have a great sense of humor in our team. It won't be long before you see the music or hear the music playing in our team room. Right. Nobody died out there, and it was a sport, and we gave it our all, so be it.
Just be lucky, Ernie, that when you got on that plane for that long ride home, you didn't have to turn right. You went left where there was plenty of room and plenty of libation to make that trip a successful one. Hey, Jay, how about this idea? If you can concoct a plan to get to 10 points going into singles, why not scrap that and concoct a plan to have more points than the other team after singles? That would be the plan.
I think the goal of being somewhere on Saturday is fine, but the primary is having the most points at the end of the day. I don't think that many people are questioning really Ernie on Sunday. I mean, you know, you throw guys out, as you talked about, Bob, plan or no plan. The guys have to go out and play. And he's right, top to bottom, the U.S. team is still a better team and was this time. But you look at a guy like Joaquin Niemann, who's, what, 21? Getting his first taste of international competition. I mean, this is a guy that could make 5 or 6 teams over the next 12 to 20 years. So I think that, you know, it's a start. They did come damn close, as Ernie said. And I think the U.S. was fortunate to get away with a victory. So kudos to Ernie. Like he said, he did all he could. The guys did all he could. Sometimes it's just not enough.
Yeah, I think Ernie did a hell of a job, and he shouldn't be too hard on himself. You know, a putt or two this way or that way, and the result is completely different. Let's focus for a little bit on the stars of the show. Certainly the brightest star of them all, Tiger, going 3-0-0. His play down there didn't excite me because of his play in Australia, but every swing that I saw him take, every hole that I saw him win, and every handshake that he got in congratulations just whetted my appetite for the 2020 golf season, which you got to believe, unless something unusual transpires between now and April, Tiger is going to be a factor, if not a major factor, in the majors next year.
Bobby's the second choice at the MGM Sportsbook in Las Vegas to win the Masters. Brooks Koepka is the lead choice to win the Masters next year. And granted, it's a while away. But, I mean, just the transformation of the last couple of years and where we thought Tiger was and where we were afraid he was going and now where he's gone, absolutely. I mean, he's the favorite or one of the favorites now every time he puts it in the air. And it's a different favorite than when you and I saw him as unbeatable almost in the latter 1990s and into the 2000s and all the way to, you know, Y.E. Yang beating him. But this is a lot of fun, and it's great for our game. You know, he played a lot with JT, Justin Thomas, down in the Bahamas and put himself with him in the opening match of the President's Cup, and Tiger looks really good, Bob. I mean, he's hitting fairways. That's the thing that had kind of disappeared. He's figured out his swing. Is he as long as he was? No. That's age, that's time, that's flexibility. But it seems like he's figured out a way to swing the golf club the way he needs to do it to be able to manage a golf course, and there may be nobody that manages a golf course better than him. So, I mean, how can you not be excited?
Yeah, of course, the play of Tiger, it brings up, at least it's going to be part of the conversation early on. If and when he wins another major, then the fire is on Kenny Katz Jack are going to be, you know, well lit and raging, and certainly that adds a lot of excitement to the world of golf. Let's take a little closer look at the players. You mentioned Tiger. Cantlie, though, 3-2-0, pretty good. Justin Thomas, who I'm going to pick to win a major next year, he was 3-1-1. Schauffele is just continues to amaze me. He's quite a talent.
Oh, he's outstanding. I mean, he finished second last year at the Masters. He's won a tour championship. You know, Xander Schauffele is got big-time game, and he's one of those players now at the highest level that is just missing one thing, very similar to my man Rombo, John Rahm, that they're just missing a major from their cachet. And we know, you know, we throw majors around like they're easy to win, and you always try and point out, hey, there are only four of them every year. So, you know, you got some younger players, and you mentioned Justin Thomas. How good does he look heading into 2020? You know, we're set up again for another incredible ride to Augusta National.
Yeah, to help our listeners understand a little bit, I would say 10 years ago, going into the Masters, and I'll be a little bit generous, there were 20 guys that yep. really had a good chance of coming away with a green jacket. Now I got to make that number 30 or 35 guys. So it's harder now to win because there are more players that it will not be a surprise if they go on to win. And guys like Bryson DeChambeau, even Tony Finau, Ricky Fowler, yeah. all these guys, Jay, that have yet to taste their first major victory, but certainly possess the talent and the pedigree to get it done at any time.
No, you nailed it. I mean, the depth and the depth at the top, and we say the top level of guys that can get it done at majors, and it's the same way week to week at PGA Tour events. Now, damn near every player that gets in a field can win a PGA Tour event. We've seen it. Ask Adam Long. Ask Colin Morikawa. There's a lot of guys with that have gotten their first victory in the last 15 months on the PGA Tour. So it's tougher across the board and certainly tougher at major championships. And I think we're going to have another unbelievable major championship season kicked off this year in a sense with the players and its second move to March. And then we get used to our second stint of the PGA in May. We've got Olympic golf. We've got Ryder Cup golf. We got the FedEx Cup. Good Lord. I mean, does this thing ever end?
it's going to be an incredible year. 2020, on paper, has the potential to go down as one of the all-time greats in the world of golf, something that wasn't an all-time, and we have to discuss it in the grill room. Patrick Reed compounded the issue with what happened down at Tiger's event with unfortunate incident. His caddy, his brother-in-law, got fed up with a heckler, got out of a golf cart, put his hands on the heckler. PGA Tour jumps in, suspends the caddy. Just the kind of thing we really don't need in the world of golf.
No. I mean, the last thing they needed was more of this. And, you know, I understand a guy trying to stick up for his guy. But at some point, you got to have some refrain and understand that your horse did something wrong. He deserves a little static. He deserves some heckling. I mean, and then when he did the thing with the shovel after making a putt and trying to, it's just getting old. It's getting played out. I got to believe that the fellow players are tired of it. I know, you know, Paul Azinger had a hard time talking about it because I think deep down Paul knows that this guy's done wrong, and you know it's hard to get away from it. This is something that's going to linger with him. I mean, the headline in the obit might be Patrick Reed, winner of the Masters, but also questioned about his ethics in the game. I mean, he's going to have to fight through this. He likes doing it. He likes being the fighter. He likes being the shunned guy. But that gets old after a while.
Let me ask you this, Jay Randolph Jr. You've been around this sport a long time. I value everything that you have to say. I will say Golf Channel somewhat surprised me. They came out pretty strong in saying that if Patrick Reed thinks he's ever going to get picked for another team, whether it be President's Cup or Ryder Cup, he's sadly mistaken. They felt, and it was unanimous on the personalities on the air, that he will never, ever again be picked as a captain's pick. Where did Jay Randolph Jr. weigh in on that?
Well, luckily, he's got enough game where he'll probably qualify for a number of teams over the next 5 to 10 years. But I think that it would be surprising if somebody decided to take him. And let's think about why. When you take him, you bring things into the mix. You know, the media is going to talk about it. They're going to ask other players. A coach doesn't want that. And frankly, his recent history here is one that you would avoid. So I agree with you. I was a little surprised at that strong a take from guys that usually like to talk in lollipops and flowers. I was a little surprised that they were as strong as that. But I think I go back to anybody that's played the game at the highest level or even at a competitive level. In a ladies amateur, in the Dallas women's amateur, I don't care where it is. You know, if you're in a bunker and you're moving sand, I mean, you do. It's a fascinating situation. I think it would have been too much to just all of a sudden say, hey, you ain't coming with us to Australia. You done messed up, because he accepted his penalty. And under the rules of golf, that's what it was. But that's not what it was in the public domain. I mean, people that saw it believe that he knew that he had done that. And that's a mark that will be with him, and probably a mark that would be one of the reasons, or the reason, that a guy wouldn't pick him on a team.
Well, he had to go to Australia. They had his uniforms all made and the golf bags and all that stuff. They weren't going to duplicate. No, I'm just teasing.
Right.
But it was... Yeah, you know, I guess he should have went. I don't think he handled it as well down there as he could have. Now let's do.
You don't want to, Bob. You don't want to become a sideshow.
Right. Good point.
Yep.
Let's leave it at that. Certainly, they weren't sideshows. They played pretty well. Abraham Ancer 3-1-1. Sungjae Im 3-1-1. A couple of bright spots for Ernie Els and that international team.
Well, and again, young guys. I mean, you know, Sungjae Im is a guy that probably will be on the next 4 or 5 teams. All he's lacking now is a PGA Tour win. Rookie of the year. He clearly has big-time game. He looks like he has fun, too. He was smiling a lot in some of the four-ball and foursome action. Again, I think that's one of the reasons why, and Ernie used the term, this was more of a team. I think some of those young guys who know that the future is kind of theirs are starting to build that team concept with Ernie. So, you know, the internationals, as Ernie said in his news conference, did everything they could. They just came up short. And they've got some good young players to hold in the future.
Yeah, I felt a little bad for Adam Scott. He went 2-2-1. I know he would have loved to have come up huge in his home country of Australia. He's so well liked, and lest anybody forget, the only Australian ever to win a green jacket. Probably the biggest disappointment would be on the shoulders of Mark Leishman, 1-2-2, being an Aussie, growing up just about 3 hours from Royal Melbourne. Not a great week for Mark, and he's such a great guy.
Yeah, I you know, you feel bad for him because this was kind of the big week for him, being the Aussie, and he's obviously got huge game. He didn't have it necessarily in all the matches, so tough for him, especially with that home country aspect, and I'm sure that they wanted him to be one of the kind of keys to the victory to the team, and maybe if he'd have played better, they'd have gotten it.
Yeah, and I think Ernie was counting a lot on Haitong Li, 0-2-0. you know, pretty good reputation going into it, but he didn't seem to be engaged at all.
No, and I think that, you know, part of it might be the kind of guy he is, the demeanor. He's not a fiery guy. He just goes about his business. And frankly, in a couple of matches, he ran into some buzzsaws. So, you know, again, a tough situation.
Well, that wraps up the President's Cup for another 2 years. Next one is at home in Quail Hollow in Charlotte, North Carolina in 2021.
Let's take a short break so Bob can talk about the official accommodation partner of In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay at the Century Tournament of Champions. Of course, I'm talking about the magnificent Kapalua Villas on Maui.
The Kapalua Villas Maui is the official hotel partner of the Grill Room Golf Show during the Century Tournament of Champions, held each January at the Plantation Course. Yes, I know it's snowing in some parts of the U.S. Yes, I know it's cold and miserable. And yes, we thought you might like to hear from General Manager Bill Reese on the advantages of choosing Kapalua Villas Maui for your next vacation.
We've got the weather, we've got the beach, we've got the golf course, we've got the palm trees, we have properties facing the golf course, if that's your cup of tea, where you can actually watch the golfers on the fairway. We have properties in the ridge, which is high on the hill, so you can get a very panoramic ocean view of Molokai and the tropical environment. And also we have the bay villas, which are right down by the Onaloa Bay, which is oceanfront. Fully equipped kitchens in every condo, washer, dryer, and there is a refrigerator, freezer, so you can have that ice cream at midnight without having to go out. We've got the friendly people and the aloha. There's not much more you could ask for.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Jay, Jay Randolph Jr. You can find me on Twitter, STL Golf Geek. You can find Mr. Bubka at Bob Bubka, V-O-G, the V-O-G, appropriately for Voice of Golf. So follow us on Twitter and check in with us like our mate over the pond, Darren, does, always looking for those value bets on all the tours out there. Well, Bob, it has been an unbelievable year. We were talking in our first segment as we wrapped up the President's Cup about how excited we were for 2020, and we'll get to that in our final segment. But as you look back on 2019, a lot of things happened in the game of golf.
Yeah, but it's not hard to pinpoint the biggest moment of all in 2019. That was the putting on the fifth green jacket of Tiger Woods, a long time between major victories. What was it, 11 years? Between majors. I mean, that's an incredibly long time. And when you think of the health situation and the operations and, you know, not only physically was he beaten down, mentally he was beaten down. Everybody but just a few of us, you included, Jay, had probably written him off. But somehow, some way, Tiger did find a way and redeemed himself with that win down at the Masters, easily the highlight of 2019.
It just is really amazing. And it's now that we're removed from it a little bit, it makes it even more amazing when you look back at the fall and the physical situation. And obviously the last procedure that he had got him ready for this. But you and I, who are giant Tiger fans, still had doubt. I mean, we had hope, but there was also a lot of doubt. So to do it, and this was not a major that he necessarily just grabbed, but when the moment arrived, he had put himself in position. A mistake was made. It allowed him to have the opportunity to get a major championship, and he did. He finished it off. And that was the thing that he wondered about. Was the thing all of us wondered about, and to see him in the Butler cabin for the fifth time, or for the fifth time receiving a Masters jacket, you know, that was something we did not think we'd see. And now, as we approach 2020, we believe that it can happen again. somewhere along the line. Potentially maybe even happen twice. Potentially bringing Jack's number really into the mix. So that in itself, I mean, there are also things like Rory and Gary Woodland getting his first major and a historic British in the Emerald Isle and a lot of first-time winners and young players coming out right from college and winning. All those things are wonderful, but it doesn't trump what Tiger did at Augusta.
Well, it's kind of amazing, Jay. If we go back 1 year as we were getting ready to go into 2019, if we talked about Tiger, the amount of hope was nowhere near the level of the amount of doubt. And now, just a year later, going into the 2020 season, it's easy to feel that the level of hope is far higher than the level of doubt. Quite a turnaround, quite a win, quite a boost in the arm for the world of golf. You mentioned his name, but it's worth mentioning again. We got to the U.S. Open out at Pebble Beach, an incredible layout, an incredible human being, Gary Woodland, very talented golfer. He broke his maiden and got his first major, but I think you'd have to be, you know, very narrowly focused if you think that's the only one he's going to win. I think he has enough talent to win one or two more majors.
He's got the talent, but let's be honest, it was also a perfect setup at Pebble Beach. It wasn't necessarily your Marion or your Open type of, your Marion or your Oakmont U.S. Open. I'm not taking anything away. He had a brilliant driving week. A brilliant driving week for a guy who can pound it. Still one of the longer players on tour, an athletic player. He also putted very well, and nobody really put a tremendous amount of heat on him on Sunday, which was huge. Big win for Gary Woodland. My son is out here with me in Vegas, and I got the prop numbers for the Masters, and he said, "Why is Gary Woodland 60-1? And I said, "Well, you know, a lot of people think Gary may not win another major. This was the one that he got his one." But I said, it's the kind of situation where if the planets align right, Gary Woodland could certainly win another major championship, a huge boost for him, taking him to another level, Bob.
Yeah, Jay, and I feel strongly that Gary Woodland's best chance at another major could very well be at Augusta. I mean, he's the type of player that it takes to win down there. And, hey, you know, I don't know what his odds are to win the Masters, but it might be worth a little bet. You know, we skipped over the PGA, and we shouldn't do that. Brooks Koepka won back-to-back PGAs, not only this year but the year previous. He's absolutely incredible. He's won four majors and eight starts there for a while. And I mean, that's an incredible run. And I don't know if we have an accurate barometer on the talent level of Brooks Koepka. I think it might even be higher than we're giving him credit for at the moment.
Again, another one of those new prototype players that is a beast, is built like a linebacker, but has the touch of a world-class player. I mean, we got to the point where we all just figured, okay, well, it's another major, Brooks Koepka. We'll see. It has been extremely quiet, Bob, on the Brooks Koepka front since the fall on the path in Japan when he went back home instead of getting, medical assistance there. All I'm saying is it's been interesting how quiet it is. I don't know if he's scheduled to play at the Century, but, you know, they've been very quiet on his status. Obviously, he didn't play in the President's Cup and was replaced by Ricky Fowler. But as you said, the talent level, it seems like it's hard to even grasp how good he is.
You're right about that. Not a lot of verbiage coming out of that Brooks Koepka camp, although in some ways that'd be good. I think if it was serious, or more serious than we were led to believe it would have a greater chance of coming to the surface. All right, we got to talk about what happened at Royal Portrush. An incredible sequence of events led off by Rory McIlroy, who waited so long for his tournament to come back to Ireland. Then he implodes on the first hole, basically knocks himself out of the tournament after one hole. But Shane Lowry, a very likable guy with obviously a ton of talent, goes on the victory. What a win that was at Royal Portrush.
Yeah, we had it all set up with this dream scenario of Roars was gonna do this thing. And you know, right from the get-go, that went out the window. And all of a sudden, here comes an Ulsterman or an Irishman, and now we got it in play. And I look at him kind of like Leishman. You know, a guy that, again, the perfect week, Shane Lowry gets it. The perfect week comes in his home country, a historic championship being played in Northern Ireland at a great venue. I thought it was a great open championship. I think they'll be back a lot sooner than it took them this time. And again, it just shows the global aspects of the game and takes a player like Shane Lowry, very much like Gary Woodland, to a whole nother level.
Yeah, well, when my attention was directed to come up with a flop of the year, I thought it might be difficult to analyze and come up with something that deserved a title. And then bingo, I thought of Tiger versus Phil in Las Vegas. They're bigger. You're having a bigger success in Las Vegas on your little vacation than Tiger and Phil did when they were there playing at Wynn. That was just a disaster.
That went and went away, and it's like nobody talks about it. I mean, there was nobody walking around going, "Hey, I wonder if Tiger and Phil are gonna play this year." Yeah, it was a try. I think it missed. And you know, I think the guy that gave me the flop of the year came in the last couple of weeks, and that's Patrick Reed. Maybe it's not a flop. Maybe it's more of an out of bounds. But you know, that's going to be one of the things that we'll look at 2020 and see how he is able to deal with the scrutiny, the increased scrutiny. There was already scrutiny on this cat. So my flopper, my out of bounds, is Patrick Reed. When we come back here on In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, we will take a look forward. After taking a look back, we'll look forward at the 2020 season, which we can't wait for.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elstoautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at the Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. That's a wrap on 2019. And now, Bob, as people could already tell in our opening segment, you're excited because you're going to Hawaii to start the year, but we're excited about golf in 2020.
Yeah, the Masters, certainly with Tiger as defending champion, is going to be absolutely incredible. We'll be going out to San Francisco for the PGA Championship. Horting Park. That should be a lot of fun. And then, of course, it'll be the United States Open. And you made reference to the fact that Gary Woodland drove the ball well at Pebble Beach. Well, if you don't drive it straight at Wingfoot, you might as well not even go.
No, great venue, tremendous spot. You got to hit the fairways there, a traditional U.S. Open golf course, so it should be fantastic.
And then we make the trip over the pond. We go to Royal St. George's. We know anybody could win there. That's where Ben Curtis.
Ben Crane, Curtis. Yeah. I almost said Ben Crane, too.
I know. Ben Curtis got the job done. You know, Darren Clark also won his only major at Royal St. George's. So as far as the majors go next year, Jay, it's certainly going to be outstanding. Those three venues coupled with the one that we go to each and every year in April at Augusta, I think is going to be extremely exciting. And if that's not enough, lick your chops for maybe paying a visit to Cola, Wisconsin. Herb Cola going to be brimming with pride. The Ryder Cup coming to Whistling Straits.
And Olympic golf to boot, Bob. That's a wrap for 2019.
And we'll be back the first week of January during the Century Tournament of Champions. A big In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay wish for a very happy holiday season. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa to all.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.